Hey, New Life Church, welcome back to Service Online today. And I just want to remind you that this Easter, we are partnering our Easter offering with Convoy of Hope, one day to feed the world. And so here's the challenge. The challenge is that on Easter, we dedicate one day's wages to our Easter offering. I think the best gift we can give Jesus is to give to the least of these. Just like Scripture says, whatever we do to the least of these, we do as unto the Lord. And so would you right now, would you consider choosing one day between now and Easter where you will work for the less fortunate? Convoy of Hope is feeding kids all around the world every single day. And we get to partner with them. And I have something really exciting to share with you, that the first $2,500 to be given into our Easter one day offering will be matched dollar for dollar. And so you can give right now online, or you can prepare now and bring that offering on Easter Sunday. Whatever it may be, I just want to say thank you for making a difference, not just in Kokomo, but in the rest of the world. So this Easter, we are in a series called Redeemed. And last week we talked about this idea of coming into covenant with Jesus, what all that means. So I want to encourage, if you didn't catch last week's message, to go online, newlife4kokomo.org, and you can find the archive of all of our series, and catch up on last week's as well. But today, and as we move forward in the series Redeemed, I want to talk about the great pardon. The great pardon. Pardon is a term used a lot in kind of the judicial world, right, in courts. And in 2012, Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi, on his last day in office as governor, he issued a full and unconditional pardon to 193 criminals. 193 criminals. This wasn't an unusually high number of pardons for a governor to issue. Now, certainly, this pardon that he gave to these 193 criminals sparked a lot of controversy and brought a lot of criticism from his colleagues. A full and unconditional pardon means that one is full in that they get that those criminals would get all of their rights restored, and unconditional meaning that they didn't have to do anything to earn or deserve such a pardon. Now, of the 193 criminals that were issued a full and unconditional pardon, were those that were charged with crimes like murder, manslaughter, assault with a deadly weapon, armed robbery, possession of cocaine, grand larceny, escape from custody, third offense DUI, rape, statutory rape, fraud, and even auto theft. This is just a partial list of the crimes that Governor Haley Barbour gave a full and unconditional pardon for on his last day of office. Some of his colleagues called this massive pardon inexplicable or awful. Some even said it was painful and would cause fear for many. I think that this real life story leads us to our next picture of salvation that we will cover in this Redeemed series. So throughout this series, we are looking at pictures of salvation in the Bible that will ultimately lead us to this greater idea of redemption. Because the word redemption means to buy something back. And this is exactly what Jesus did all those years ago during this time of Easter, is that his death, burial, and resurrection paid a ransom for you and for me. And it pardoned all of us from every crime, every sin that we committed. And he essentially has bought us back by his own life. And so the picture that we will see today in this great pardon is the picture of a gavel. You know, the wooden hammer that a judge would use to bring order or to execute a sentence, whatever. It is a sign of authority, and it brings order. And this picture of a gavel, it declares whatever the judge says, it declares it into existence. So judges use this in that way. So, but how does this picture of judgment help us with the picture of salvation? Because when you think of a gavel, you think of a courtroom, court of law, you think of judgment. And many will say, well, what does the message of Easter have anything to do with judgment? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. And so we're going to jump into our scripture in Romans 3:22. And it says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. In other words, he's telling them there's no difference between who you think is in and who you think is out. Whether Jew or Gentile, male, female, all races, it doesn't matter whether you think they're in or whether you think they're out. This is for all people. And it goes on to say in 23 and 24, for all have sinned. That means all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But look at this, and they are all justified freely by his grace through the, here's our word, redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This word justified is the word that we're really going to focus in on today. Because when the early church would have read this letter and seen this word justified, they would have read the word dikaiō. That's D-I-K-I-A-O-O, dikaiō. And the word dikaiō was a word used in court. It was a judgment type word. But the word dikaiō, for that we can only translate really into this word justified, it means to be declared not guilty. So for all have sinned, in other words, all are criminals. All are not just charged, but they have been found guilty of the charge. But then all are justified, dikaiō, they are declared not guilty freely by grace through the redemption that comes only by Jesus. So this word justified, I really want to narrow into this word justified, meaning that this Easter, somebody is being declared not guilty. And yeah, you're guilty. Yeah, you were condemned before, but because of what Jesus did, dikaiō, you are not guilty. The case is closed. So let's look at this word justified. This is how I want you to remember the word justified. This is how it was taught to me when I was a teenager, and I want you to know this. When I say justified, it is just as if you never sinned. This is what the work of the cross does. This is what Easter did. It has justified all freely by the redemption that only comes through Jesus. It has declared you not guilty. Case closed. Not only have you been declared not guilty, case closed for all of your past, all of your stuff, all of your mess, you've been declared not guilty, but you cannot be found in double jeopardy. In other words, you cannot be charged for the same crime twice. You have once and for all. When Jesus paid it all, baby, he paid it all. You are justified. It is just as if you never sinned. Not guilty. Case closed. Acquitted of all charges. Fully pardoned. All rights restored. And it is unconditional. And it is for you. You can never be tried again for that same crime. You see, I feel like in today's day and age, there are too many people in Christian circles that are trying to take the Bible, trying to take the culture and bring them both together and find a way to justify some sin. They're trying to find a way that a lifestyle of sin that somebody is in and try to find a way to work around it to fit them in. Let's try to justify this immorality but get you into the church. And so all of this energy is being used to help to try to justify sin when all those years ago, Easter is about how Jesus came, he paid it all to justify the sinner. So we're trying to justify sin, but Jesus justified the sinner. And when your sin is then justified, declared not guilty, you don't return back to it. So we don't need to try to justify sin to get it in. We need to be justified through Christ and get everything else out. So here's what I want to say. If God has declared you innocent, somebody needs to hear this. If God's declared you innocent, stop living guilty. Stop living with the guilt. Stop living with the shame. You have been declared not guilty. Dikaiō. Pardoned, fully pardoned. So if God himself has declared you innocent, and I mean that you have put your faith in Jesus, you're following him, but your past is plaguing you, you still feel guilt, you still feel shame, you got to get that off of you this year. You got to break that off of you, because if God sees you as innocent, you don't have to live guilty. Look what Romans 8:1 says. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So this is Easter, man. If you have not been found in Christ, I get it. You feel the condemnation of your crime. You feel the condemnation of your offense towards God. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you can be found in Christ, there is no condemnation whatsoever. Now, there are so many benefits to this justification, or in other words, this great pardon, this being declared not guilty. There's benefits to receiving this message of salvation that only comes through Jesus. Easter is the time for the core of the Christian message. And there's so many benefits that I know people are searching for these benefits in all kinds of different ways in our world, but it'll leave you unfulfilled. So I want to look at Romans chapter 5, and we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to begin to see these great benefits through this thing called justification, when you are pardoned and forgiven of all your crime, fully pardoned unconditionally. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been, hey, there's our word, justified. What's justified mean? Just as if we never sinned, we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the first benefit. The first benefit is that we have what? Peace. Peace with God. To have peace with God. Because here's the thing. The world doesn't know this kind of peace. And if you have tried to live the world's way for any amount of time, then you would know the world doesn't have this kind of peace. We're talking about peace with God. It can't offer, it not only does it not know this kind of peace, the world also cannot offer you this kind of peace. There will always continue in this world to be wars and rumors of wars. But when you have the great pardon, when you have been justified freely by his grace and made as though you've never messed up, you've never made a mistake, you've never committed the crime, when you have been made pardoned, you can be at peace with God even when there's war in the world. That is the power of this benefit. The benefit to being justified, of being having the great pardon, is you can have peace with God even when there's war in the world. Let's look at the next verse. Romans 5:2 says, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. So when you have received this great pardon, this being declared not guilty, you have access to God's grace. You have access to the grace of God. And if you have access to the grace of God, then you have been accepted by God and you can have access to God. So one of the benefits is this access to grace. It is this access to God, which means God has fully accepted you. He's fully accepted you to give you this great pardon. You have been accepted by God. And I know that if you have lived any type of life in the world, or if you have ever lived a life without Jesus, you can understand just how unfair this is. If you've ever stood before a judge, if you've ever committed some great crime or any crime, then you would know that this is not a fair judgment, that God would just accept you, that God would just pardon you. And that's the thing about this transaction. That's the thing about the story of the cross, is it's not fair. It's a very unfair story in your favor. It's unfair, but in our favor. It's unfair that one God-man, Jesus Christ, had to take on all the sin of the world. Every mistake he didn't make, every poor choice he didn't choose, he took it all upon himself to give us all the grace. And so when you have been justified, declared not guilty, you get access to the grace of God because you have been accepted by God. And because we have this access to grace and acceptance by God, what do? Do we continue to go on in our previous lifestyle? Do we continue to be bound by anger and guilt and shame? Do we continue in a life of lust and envy and jealousy? Well, of course not. Think about these 193 people that received a full and unconditional pardon from the governor in Mississippi. Do you think that if you were completely pardoned of some horrific crime that you want to run back and commit the same one? No, you wouldn't want to. And now I'm sure some made mistakes and probably ended up back in prison. I don't know their stories. But listen, if it were me and I got completely, fully pardoned unconditionally of some terrible thing that I had done, if I were to go back to that life of crime, it would be to throw away the great pardon. And this is why when we are justified freely by the love of God and accepted by God, the response is to turn away from all that stuff and follow God. Let's look at the next one. We continue in verse 2 through 5. It says, "And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope, it does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So being pardoned, being justified, it is not a guarantee that everything is now all of a sudden going to be easy. And listen, I hope that this Easter season of 2021, that this is the time and this is the moment that somebody is going to give their life over to God and leave their life that they've made a mess of. But it is no guarantee that it's all of a sudden going to be easier, because you will still and likely still face the same challenges that you faced when you led with poor decisions before you made the decision to follow Christ. You'll face those same challenges. But the difference is now you have hope in God. So this is one of the great benefits to being justified and finding this, having this great pardon, is you now have hope. Hope when you face the same challenges at work, at home, or in this life, financial challenges, health challenges. Now you have a hope rooted in God. Not only are we challenged, but we persevere, because there is no situation that is ever hopeless. Because before I submitted my life to Christ, I knew what hopelessness was. But now that I have been justified freely, I have been pardoned of all of my messes, now I know what real hopelessness was. Real hopelessness was before I had Jesus in my life. And now, because he is the rock on which I stand, I have hope in God. Romans, let's find another benefit. In verses 6 through 8, it says, "You see, at just the right time," how many of you are thankful that God came at just the right time for you? "When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare die. But God," this is how I love this, "but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Did you catch that? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what a great benefit is to having this great pardon, being justified freely by his grace through faith? Another great benefit is the love of God. The love of God. So not only can you have peace with God, not only can you be accepted by God, have hope in God, but you can experience the life transformational power of the love of God. But why would God do such a thing as to grant me, a full and unconditional pardon? Because the reason why God can do that for you, why he can do it for me, is because long before you ever chose him, he had already chosen you. He had already chosen you. He chose you when you were broken. He chose you. He chose you when you were depressed. He chose you when you were anxious. He chose the angry version of you. He chose the addicted version of you. He chose the version of you that lived in sexual immorality. When you were full of envy, jealousy, and rage, he chose you. And how many of you know, if someone can love you at your worst, then they will love you all the time. And this is what this verse means, that this is how God demonstrated his love for all of broken humanity, that while you were sinners, while you were bound up, while you were your life was a mess, he chose you. He loved you. And that was the moment he gave it all when he died upon the cross. That is when he chose to love you, was when you were at your worst. He chose you to love you when you were a wreck, long before you were ever put back together again. There's another great benefit that we see in the next chapter, Romans chapter 6. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? In other words, when your life was a mess, when you tried to do this without God in your life, when you followed the ways of the world, when you're living in sin, you led an immoral lifestyle, what benefit did you get? Well, those things only resulted in death. Sometimes a real death, but certainly a spiritual death. But now that you have been set free from sin, in other words, now that you have been declared dikaiō, not guilty, set free from sin, and have become now slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. This is the benefit. It leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. The previous result of your life before God led to death. But this one, it leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what it means to be holy. To be holy means to be set apart to be used by God. Holiness ultimately belongs to God, but for us to personally walk out holiness, being set apart to God, being set apart from the world. So when you first showed up to God and you were a mess, you are now going to be separated from that mess unto God and away from the stuff that had you locked down and bound up. God, the Bible says it like this, be holy for I am holy. So in essence, when you come into a relationship with God, you are now being made holy. You're being made more like him. You're conforming to his will instead of your ways. We are pardoned of all charges. And our response to God, our response should be to not throw it away by returning to a life of crime. Listen, I think scripture makes such a solid stance for justification that one, you should realize anybody can be justified freely through God's grace when they put their faith in him. That means they can come from all different walks of life, whether they struggle in any form of sexual immorality, whether they struggle in any bit of addiction, God can justify them. In other words, God can completely dismiss all of their charges. Completely. The temptation is to think, well, does that mean I can continue in that way and still be in? I think you need to realize that if you were acquitted of all charges, why would you go back? Why would you go back? the benefit is to be made holy. The benefit is to conform now to God's will instead of your way. Don't throw it all away and live and go back to a life of crime. Or in other words, don't go back to a life of sin when you've had the great pardon. No. Live for the one who granted your pardon. This is my last thought here. You have been acquitted of all charges, and you now belong to the Lord. Holiness is to be set apart from the crimes that you've committed and be set apart unto God. You've been acquitted. Listen, this is good news for somebody today. You've been acquitted of all charges. All you have to do is choose to say, God, I put my faith in you today, and I'm going to leave this life of immorality, of sin, and darkness, and set me apart unto you. So last question. So what happened to all my stuff? In other words, I don't know about you, but when you found Jesus, you showed up with some stuff. You showed up with that anger. You showed up with lust. You showed up with your immorality and jealousy and envy, greed, hatred. Simply putting your faith in Jesus. Now, where does it all go? Where does it all go? You see, the Bible talks about how Jesus bore our sins. In other words, he took all your crime upon himself. All the mess of your life when you first found Jesus, or maybe the mess of life that you're living in right now, he took it all upon himself when he went to the cross. His death on the cross, therefore, was a ransom. His life was a ransom that paid for the punishment that you and I deserved. See, we deserved the cross, but Jesus bore it for himself. So for you to then go back after being justified and pick up all that sin again would be to rob God from what he paid for. So today I want you to pray and give all your mess to him. Lord, I pray for everybody that is tuning in today that is a mess and is in pain. Would you lift the burden like you did? You have paid their ransom. I pray that you would give them the boldness and courage to put their faith in you for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, and declare them not guilty. So I encourage you today, you've been declared not guilty. So do not live a life of guilt. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.